This is TurnbuckleTrash.net.
After all, they're just wrestling, right?
Woo! We'll break your bones! We'll grind you into pudding! We'll tear your faces off!
It's time to take out the trash on Turnbuckle Trash. Pro wrestling from a fan's perspective, with three fans who know how to talk some trash.
Without further ado, allow me to present the newest sensation of the entertainment world,
Zane Peterson.
Well, he's doing really, really well blocking those punches with his face.
Ajay Salveson.
I'm feeling such an odd mixture of pride and mortal terror.
There is a creature alive today who has survived millions of years of evolution without change. Without passion and without logic.
Dave Denton.
A mindless eating machine.
Ready, master control?
Ready, switch on.
This is Turnbuckle Trash.
I'm taking the trash out.
On today's edition of Turnbuckle Trash, Payback, did it deliver with blood? Or was Raw better this time? We go to the movies. There's a scary butt fumble from ROH. Zane goes to war. News of a pumpkin back in wrestling, and injuries are piling up once again, all in this edition of Turnbuckle Trash.
Turnbuckle Trash fans, you can stay in the ring with us by following us on Facebook and clicking that like button on our Facebook page, Turnbuckle Trash. Or you can follow us on Twitter, at Turnbuckle Trash. And in case you got any comments, suggestions, or questions, you can email us at wpfpod@gmail.com. Again, that's wpfpod@gmail.com.
Well, well, well. Welcome back. Welcome back, Dave the Man. Are you ready
and
for
Zane,
this, Dave?
The Man.
Dave, do you know what time it is?
What time is it, Zane?
It's time to take out the papers and the trash.
Yeah, yaggity yak. Don't talk.
But a different kind of trash, Dave. Did Payback pay off for you? Or does it owe you a payback?
I think Raw the following night was actually better than Payback. Does that make sense?
Well, you know, think of every Monday as watching a pay-per-view, because every Monday Raw is 3 hours.
Uh-huh.
So, that pay-per-view is 3 hours. So, you know, it's like, goodness gracious, I wonder how much time goes into just a production of Raw. Man.
They got to be working weeks and weeks ahead of time all the time. So, probably 6 to 8 months out. But there's some stuff that we're going to come up into the news that might be throwing some monkey wrenches into what's going on in the WWE.
Ooh. So that's
going to be kind of fun. So, you ever watch the pre-shows that they have for these pay-per-views?
You know, I just can't stomach them. I just cannot. I don't know. I get annoyed with them trying to be like NASCAR and the NFL for some reason.
You
know,
yeah.
It's like I can see them, commentating on NASCAR or the NFL, but it's like, come on, guys, it's rigged, you know? Not rigged, right? It's predetermined. So why are we talking about who's going to win the belt, you know?
Yeah. I don't watch much, but, you know, I kind of watched the highlights of the pre-show. I just kind of went through it. The good thing was that when Enzo and Cass beat Gallows and Anderson, Enzo got a black eye. I mean, he must have caught a thumb or maybe an errant fist or a kick right in the eye, because the next night on Raw, man, that eye was swollen shut.
Really?
Who could tell with Enzo? I mean, he's an ugly man anyway, so.
Yeah, he is. But doesn't he talk about, what was that, when he had that deal with Lana, didn't he talk about how good-looking he was?
Uh-huh.
Remember when he had that little feud with Lana? Or
yeah.
Was it a kind of a feud, I guess? I don't know what you call it.
Yeah, it was, they were setting up Lana, Rusev against, trying to get a big deal, you know, a big feud with Enzo Amore and Big Cass, and that's when they brought in Jinder Mahal. was during that time frame.
Yep, you're right.
Started and teaming him with him, so.
So what's on the docket, man? What are you thinking? Tell me more about Payback.
Well, the one thing, I got to go back to the pre-show with The Miz interviewing Finn Balor. And they did it wasn't the demon entrance, but it was Finn Balor coming back. And The Miz sits there with him doing Miz TV and congratulates Finn on coming back. He says, but that entrance, it's 5 minutes long. Come on. He said, the interview's over with because the show is over. I thought that was great because I mean, some of these entrances are getting just, even though they're pretty cool every once in a while, you know, they're just getting way too long.
Well, yeah, his, you know, I thought, how are they going to do that? You know, when he was doing that interest in NXT coming down the ramp, I thought, how are they going to do this in the pay-per-view? And my good, or, you know, not pay-per-view, but on the main roster. But holy cow, seems like it takes forever.
Yeah, it does. But I do like it when he's doing the demon. You know, he's got all the makeup and stuff on.
I think that's pretty cool when he has his chest painted and he has those big dreadlock things and stuff. It is cool. So, speaking of demons, is he going to be? You think? I guess what's the deal with Bray Wyatt? What's he going to do now?
Well, it looks like they set up a short feud with Finn Balor and The Miz, but The Miz and Dean Ambrose are going to go at it, and then Bray Wyatt against Finn is going to be happening. I don't know when they're all going to do this, but they're kind of hinting at it with Bray Wyatt coming in on that Monday Night Raw right after Payback. They had a fatal three-way with Finn Balor and let's see, The Miz and Dean Ambrose in that one, or
I think you're right, wasn't it?
Seth Rollins.
Seth Rollins
and whoever was going to be the number one contender. And I how I always complain about Raw being 3 hours long, right? I was watching Raw, and I was like on my second day of trying to watch 3 hours worth of Raw because, frankly, I get tired of it. And I was down to the main event, and I was going, oh, I don't know if I want to see Seth Rollins and all this, you know, with The Miz and Finn Balor. I said, I just don't know. I am so glad I watched that match. It was spectacular.
Really?
It's so hard-hitting. There were great heel spots for The Miz, you know, where he was playing the psychology game, and then they cornered him in the ring, and it was just really good, but what I liked about it was the swerves they put in there. There was a Samoa Joe attack on Seth Rollins, and I'm going, well, they're setting up Finn Balor. And then all of a sudden, here comes Bray Wyatt out to attack Finn Balor, and then The Miz wins. I didn't see it coming. I loved it. Absolutely loved that moment.
I love The Miz right now. This is some of his best work, you know. There is no reason why he shouldn't hold the title right now.
I wish they would give him some kind of title. Give him back the IC title for a while or something.
He needs to be the Universal Champ. You know, he's one of the longest, or the most, well, I don't know what you call it, Intercontinental Champions. He's won the Intercontinental Champion, I know, over 10 times, hasn't he?
Yeah. Well, you look back at Mike's career. He's never been like the huge star. You know, he had that run where he was the champion and headlined WrestleMania against John Cena. But I don't know if he's ever been as big as he is right now. The crowd is reacting to it.
I loved him when he had that match. You know, I was a little, was that WrestleMania 27? He did that against John Cena, and I was kind of like, are you serious? The Miz and John Cena? This is going to be kind of dumb because I wasn't real big on The Miz. And, dude, that was one of my – that was a great match.
It was.
And then when The Miz got involved with the Rock-John Cena feud too.
That was awesome.
Some funny stuff. Yeah, that was great stuff. And then he kind of disappeared for a while. And they started doing that movie gimmick thing, and I don't really know, what would you say his gimmick is right now? Is he just kind of an a-hole right now?
You know, I look back and I see the psychology they have him using and everything that he's doing as far as being a heel with when he puts Maurice in front of him or when he runs out of the ring in this three-way and he was letting Finn Balor and Seth Rollins go at each other while he was just standing at ringside. That was the kind of stuff that Ric Flair used to do all the time.
Yeah,
when,
you know,
the Horseman and before the Horseman. It's old heel, it's old time heel stuff. And we talked, you know, when we talked to MK about the MK Bandit about being a heel, and he's one of the best. But when you look at what The Miz is doing, he's an old time heel. He's great at it.
You know who he kind of reminds me of a little bit too. On I don't know, maybe this is just as of late, but I would compare him to like. A little bit of, he's got some Chris Jericho in there too.
Right.
You know, when Chris Jericho's a good heel too.
Yeah.
And he plays the part really well too. And he does that where he'll run out of the ring and stuff like that. And you think he's going to walk away. And
joining us on the phone right now, we couldn't get all three of us together again. One of these days it will happen, is IJ Juice, my man. How you doing today?
Doing great. You know, the only reason why we can't get all three of us together is because Zane is refusing to do another segment with me in studio with you. He will not be in the same room with me and you. It's too big of ego, I guess.
Yeah, it's all ego driven. It has nothing to do with me being in Logan, Utah, you in Salt Lake, Utah, and him in Ephraim, Utah.
No, give him a way out of this, Dave. Do not give him a way out of it. Why do you do that? Why do you stick up for Zane? It's stuff like this.
Because
really
I'm the good announcer and you're the heel announcer.
So I'm JBL?
You're JBL.
Okay. Thanks. Appreciate that.
Yeah, you're freaking on me. Yeah.
No.
They're gonna have Chance saying fire AJ here pretty soon. Yeah.
Back. Let's talk about Payback.
Pre-show, Enzo and Big Cass. Now to be honest with you, I didn't watch the match because I don't watch the pregame show, the pre-show, but I did notice that Enzo got a black eye during the match, which I thought was pretty cool.
You know, and it really is actually because I saw the highlight of that guy. I didn't watch the match either. In fact, it's one of those matches where it's like, hey, here's your entertainment, but go grab a, you know, a hot dog and a drink in the concession stand and then come back and watch the real stuff. No, but he did take a good clock to the eye, actually. And I didn't know he clocked him that hard, though. When you watch it, it doesn't look like he got him that hard, but the black guy says otherwise.
Yeah, when you saw it on the next Monday night, his eye was swollen shut, and it looked pretty nasty. I was surprised they let him out there, but it must have been no real damage to the eye itself, just a basic black eye. So.
Yuck. Oh, ow. Whoa.
Yeah, let me ask you a question about more of that pre-show. The Miz TV with Finn Balor. Did you catch the little dig that The Miz got in on Finn about his entrance being so long?
No, but why would he do that? Have you seen The Undertaker's entrance?
I liked it because I'm sitting here thinking, well, let's see. We got the Undertaker's entrance that takes 5 minutes. We've got Finn Balor's entrance that's now taking 5 minutes. And then we got Nakamura, whose entrance takes another 5 minutes. We're getting more into the entrances than we are into the actual wrestling and in-ring work. I prefer, even though I like Finn Balor's entrance, I just would prefer if we went back to a simpler little entrance occasionally and just leave the big, long entrances for special occasions. Does that make sense?
No, absolutely. I mean, even like the Ultimate Warrior, I mean, his entrance was always the same, and it lasted like 22 seconds, depending on how quick he could sprint to the ring, shake the ropes, and then just go. Like, he had the quickest entrance of anybody I ever watched. And of course, like you, we both mentioned it, The Undertaker had the longest entrance, and that wasn't even including his special pay-per-views. Even without him, like, on Raw or SmackDown, he still had the longest entrance, so... Yeah, I'm with you on that.
Man.
Like, these short, these long entrances, just save them for WrestleMania. I mean, that's really all you need them for. Nothing else. Nothing more.
Tell us about it, Juice. I like your thinking, though.
No, really, just because I mean, because the crowds always get up to the big entrances, right? I mean, they always want to see what Triple H was going to do, what The Undertaker was going to do. Shawn Michaels always had his grand entrance on the, I don't know what it was, but when he come from the ceiling. Dean always had a great entrance for the pay-per-view matches for WCW. Like, and people got up for those. But when you do them so constantly, it doesn't matter anymore. It doesn't become special anymore. It's so routine. And that's what the WWE's got to avoid that.
Yeah, you know what? I was just watching SmackDown just a few minutes ago because it comes on very late here in the Intermountain West where I'm at anyway.
Oh, it does, yeah.
For me, which I have to get up like at 4:15 every morning to go to my job, so I'm going to bed about the time SmackDown comes on here in the Intermountain West. So I have to DVR it, and I'm watching it, and Shinsuke Nakamura's entrance, you know, when he comes in, and it's pretty cool. I mean, he's got the strobe lights, and he's got the, you know, the violin music, and then the crowd is chanting. I think they're doing it because I think the fans are really getting into Nakamura because they have a chance to chant something and sing along. I'm not a big Nakamura fan.
Nah, that makes two of us, actually.
Come on, Dolph Ziggler. But they're really pushing Nakamura and the Backlash, which is coming up. Nakamura and Dolph Ziggler are going to go at it. And I'm pretty sure Nakamura will win it because they seem to be pushing him pretty heavy right now. So,
why is it that everybody who is in a feud with Dolph Ziggler ends up being pushed ahead? Like, what has Dolph Ziggler done so badly to WWE or to McMahon that anybody who faces him, it's like a step up for him, and it's like a ladder for him, too, to climb? It's unreal.
You know what it could be is that he is so good in the ring, either as a heel or a face, and I kind of like him more as a face than a heel myself. I think he's just so good at what he does that, it just gives not necessarily him being an enhancement talent, but for him to be more of someone who is a mainline star, but his ego is such that he doesn't mind helping to push somebody else ahead. Now, I'd like to see Dolph right back up there, but, I think that's probably it. I think he would like to be at the top, but, you know what? When you get paid and you get paid good, you'll do what the boss
does. You'll do whatever. Yeah, that's true. That's true. It's kind of rare to see that he isn't, even though he is getting paid well, Dave, that he isn't, you know, going mad and saying, look, a title shot or else this isn't happening anymore, you know? You saw so much of that. I think that's what kind of ruined the WCW, if anything, is money, driven ego, and then wanting to have the title and it became too much chaos. And so, at least the WWE's learned from that.
Yeah, I just got a feeling that, you know, that it's more professionalism than anything from Dolph Ziggler's point of view. And, you know, he's had a couple of title runs, and I just think that he's just being a pro and doing what is asked of him. Because he signed a contract to be a, quote, sports entertainer, which I like professional wrestler better. But, you know, what the people are going to be saying about you. And I think he's a great talent. I take my hats off to him. So.
Yeah, absolutely.
We'll get back to Juice in just a little bit, talk more about Payback. But I thought some very nice comments coming in from Zane talking about what happened at Payback with Chris Jericho and Kevin Owens. Let's go to that segment of Turnbuckle Trash.
Evidently, Jericho's future with the WWE is kind of up in the air right now. You know, he won the match at Payback to win the U.S. title, and there was a great spot in there where he supposedly broke Kevin Owens' fingers. And but the next Tuesday night, Kevin Owens wins and attacks Jericho after. So KO is back to the U.S. title again. And I think there's some kind of question about when and if Jericho is going to come back. His contract's probably up. I mean, he leaves for a while, goes touring with Fozzy and stuff, and then he comes back. He still can do it. I mean, I think some of his best work's been over the last year.
Oh, absolutely. The list stuff is hilarious. Did you know that he said he doesn't even work out anymore? He said that he does push-ups and DDP yoga. That's
wow.
How he stays in shape. And he said that he feels right now that he's the most nimblest he's ever been in his career.
Well, that DDP yoga, what you're telling me, will really knock you for a loop, won't it?
Oh, it's fantastic stuff, dude. I have the DDP yoga. I have a couple of the sets, and it's fantastic stuff, but, God, it kicks my butt.
So with Diamond Dallas Page, huh?
So,
by the way, before we get on with that, I wanted to say that there is a new DVD section out with DDP, and they've got a preview of it on the network. I watched that. Excellent stuff. Just excellent look back at the career of DDP.
Isn't it kind of a biography of him or a documentary of him?
It's more of a biography of how he started off. You know, he was later on when he became a wrestler.
Was he 35 or 37 when he started?
35 is what they said in this piece I watched
35.
On the network. And that's when he went to start training. He had been a manager for a while. You know, he was the manager of the Diamond Stud, which went on to become, Razor Ramon. And he was just doing the managing. Then they said, well, you know, you're just too big. And then he decided to become a wrestler. And at the age of 35, he worked on his craft. And dadgum, I thought he was great on the mic, but I thought his in-ring skills were just awesome, too. And especially when he came up with that diamond cutter.
Yeah. Yeah, he was one of my favorites in WCW by far. You know, I'm surprised he hasn't done a little bit. I know he had his WWE run after WCW, but I'm surprised he hasn't come back to do other than Royal Rumble appearances. Maybe he's just ready to be done and move on with life. I don't know.
I think he's, doing this yoga. He seems to be making a lot of a lot of green doing the yoga and also he's doing motivational speaking. I think he would be a great motivational speaker.
Yeah, that when he did that show with Jake the Snake, man, that was a borderline tearjerker to see the compassion that he had for him and to take him into his house and to stick with Jake. Because there was several times he could have just kicked him out and been like, I'm done with you. But he stuck with him. And he's a good guy.
Dude, I love Y2J's work. I know we've talked about this in spades and in nauseam day, but I love Y2J's work. It's so raw, but it's so pure and it's so real. He does a great job both on the mic and in the ring. I'm really impressed with the match in itself. I give it an A grade. But yeah, happy for YTJ to get that win.
I like the thing where they had in the match where KO reaches out and gets one finger on the ropes again, just like he did at WrestleMania. And then
sure.
Chris just kind of goes ballistic and attacks the hand, and they're on the floor, and he puts the hand in between the steel steps and the ring post and kicks the steps and hurts Owen's hand and then comes up with the win. And he was the U.S. title holder for a short time because two nights later, SmackDown KO wins. And it looks like Jericho is out of the WWE for now. I think his contract ran out, and whether he comes back or not, just not 100% sure. But hats off to Chris Jericho. The list, you stupid idiot, loved it.
You love that list? The whole The List thing is really cool.
Yeah, I even have now a Chris Jericho, you stupid idiot, T-shirt.
Great, now I know you're going to be calling me insane every day. That's awesome.
Stupid idiot. Yeah, I loved it. Don't make my list, though. You don't want my list.
Don't make it.
Hey, MSR.
Hey, what's up?
Hey, do you like geeky things?
I love geeky things, Chunky Larry.
How much do you love geeky things?
I would say at least a 7.
A 7? That's
yeah.
A lot.
Mm-hmm.
That's a lot.
I mean, I have a few places on the internet I go to.
Well, the one place you want to go on the internet is geeksoftheindustry.com, because it's got geeks at the beginning.
Oh, that's a good point. Geeksoftheindustry.com, you say. What is that? What is that about? What is that?
Well, you know, it's got a little bit of everything. It's got cartoons, movies, music, video games, wrestling. You know, anything that's geeky that you're into, you'll probably be able to find at geeksoftheindustry.com.
I can watch all of those things?
No, no, no. It's a podcast website. You listen to things.
Oh.
Ooh, podcasting. You can download them from the website, or you can, you know, subscribe to one of the shows on Stitcher or iTunes.
What was that website again?
That's geeksoftheindustry.com, my good friend.
I'm going to go right now.
Yeah, sorry, my brother. You've got to get your own.
That move on his feet, the stray cat. Is he ready? Oh. Let's go to the match, please.
I'd like to get old Hacksaw Jim Duggan's 2x4 and do a little work on you.
Tag me, please!
What do you call that, a flying springboard knee to the face?
Oh, that works.
All the fans here, it's just two guys rolling around in spandex together, so...
This is Turnbuckle Trash.
I was going to say, well, tell me more about Payback.
Neville and Austin Aries. I could watch those two wrestle. That almost stole the show.
You know, I don't know how the WWE... I really was excited for the Cruiserweight thing, but I don't think that they're... I can't figure out what they're doing. They're not marketing it very well. You know, I mean, a guy like Austin Aries, I don't think should be fighting for the Cruiserweight title. I think Austin Aries should be bumped right up to the IC title or U.S. title, and there's no reason why I don't think he should be in main event picture. Maybe not quite AJ Styles type championship material, but I don't know. I have mixed feelings on it. Tell me what you think.
Yeah. Well, I'm agreeing. I mean, I think Neville and Aries are big enough personalities and big enough, you know, with their moveset in the ring. They should be able to compete against anybody. I mean, if they got Kalisto, I mean, look how small Kalisto is on the main roster. You know, Neville is so jacked. I mean, that man has got, you know, he is jacked. It must be a workout fanatic to have that kind of body on him. And then Austin Aries, another one of those vegetarian wrestlers like Daniel Bryan. I think he's a vegan too, you know, so, you know, but they both work the mic so well. Their ring work is impeccable as far as I'm concerned. I thought that match even came close to stealing the night. But as far as the cruiserweights go and the 205, I've never watched 205 yet.
Did you see any of Neville's stuff in NXT?
I saw a little bit of it.
You know,
you said he was a heel there?
He was a heel in NXT, and that's when they called him, you know, like I have always griped on the pod before about, you know, they changed his name from Adrian Neville to just Neville. And, dude, when he had that match he had a feud with Sami Zayn. You should go back on the network and find some of those feuds with that feud with him and Sami Zayn. Because those matches with Sami Zayn were main event quality, Dave. They were so good. See, and that was Trent, our friend.
Oh, the Death Ray Comic Store and part of him.com?
Yeah, and part of him.com. So Trent told me to start watching NXT. And that's, I think, why I like this crop that's in the main roster right now so much, is because those were the guys that I was watching in NXT. And I was so excited to see him come up to the main roster, because you got Sami Zayn and Adrian Neville and Kevin Owens and some of these guys like that. And man, those matches with Sami Zayn and Adrian Neville were so freaking good. I would really see if you can go back a few years and find some of those matches on NXT and watch those two, because it will make you appreciate Sami Zayn so much more. And I know you're a big Sami Zayn fan from, because you go back to El Generico. Didn't you watch him a little bit in ROH as El Generico?
ROH, where I saw him the most was a feud with Kevin Steen, now Kevin Owens in ROH. And they have one of the best ladder matches I have ever seen in my life, bar none. It was an incredible, incredible match.
You know, that brings me to something. I'm going to veer off the road here a little ways. It's relevant, but maybe not too. I was on social media the other day. I believe it was on Instagram. I can't remember. There was a, like, you know, the WWE post pictures and stuff of on Instagram of the titles, and it was Kevin Owens with the U.S. title, and people were commenting on there how terrible Kevin Owens is and how bad he sucks and how, I don't know, first of all, where all the negativity comes from. I don't quite understand that. But, I just made a quick comment and I said, if you guys think Kevin Owens isn't good, you need to go watch Kevin Steen versus El Generico. I was like, that is probably one of the best ladder matches in the entire world. And I said, and it will make you appreciate Kevin Owens. And for a big guy and a guy that appears to not be in the best shape, that guy can move. And he moves good, too. Dude, those matches with John Cena, that was good stuff.
You know what I think what happens on social media, to be honest with you? It brings out the kooks. And it brings out people that want to just do nothing but negativity. They can't say, wow, you know, that was a great match. Especially the ones that, you know, the quote wrestling fans that think they know more than they do.
Mm-hmm.
And once again, I'm not saying anything bad about wrestling fans, but I keep things in perspective. I know these guys are performers, but they're great athletes. And what they do, they're doing incredible work live on TV or live in the arena. And I just think these guys have forgotten what an art form of this professional wrestling is. And I hate calling it sports entertainment because these guys are pros.
Well, you know, you're 100% right.
Hey, out of curiosity, give me an evaluation on Austin and what you like about him.
I like the swagger he has in the ring.
Sure.
I mean, he comes down to the ring, you know, the world's greatest man. He's got the little cape. He comes in and I like his mic work. I like his look. He's not afraid. He's never been afraid to get into the ring with the bigger man. He's even, you know, when he was in TNA Impact, he was basically the X division champion, which is kind of like the cruiserweights. He had a chance to, like, a Money in the Bank type thing. And he had a chance to go for the Cruiserweight title, or the X Division title as it was. And he decided, no, he wanted to go for Option 3, which became a shot at the TNA title at the time. He called it Option 3. I just love that kind of thinking out of the box. But he's got a swagger about him. He's got a presence about him in the ring. And his ring work, I think, is just awesome. That's why I'm a fan of the world's greatest man.
I'd agree on all phases of that, absolutely.
And then the tag match with the Hardys. I know you're a big fan of the Hardy Boys.
Oh, man, love it. You know...
And then Cesaro and Sheamus. Go ahead.
The Hardys are ageless, and I know I'm going to continue to gush about the Hardys, and you Hardy haters, go ahead, delete yourself. But it's... Man, they just, I mean, they're ageless. They continue to bring a show by the mic, by the ring, by their effort in the ring, by their moves. Look, I mean, kids at 13 years old, 13 years ago, loved them. And then kids at 13 years old today, love them. Love what they bring. And I thought yesterday's match was another show of that. More of a physical brouhaha, if you will, between those two. Seeing just how big Sheamus and Cesaro are, I guess you'd expect that. But it was a good match, nonetheless.
You know, at the very end, after the Hardys had won, after the Swanton, off the top rope, onto Sheamus's back when he was covering Matt, I thought that was a good little spot. And then, you know, they shake hands after the match. Oh, that's good sportsmanship, you know, they're always saying. And then come back after they walked out of the ring, here comes Sheamus and Cesaro and beat the ever-loving snot out of the Hardy boys. I like that. I was cheering that myself. You know, delete Matt Hardy.
Do you like that feud? I mean, I know it's probably going to be short-lived, but Cesaro Sheamus versus the Hardy boys, is that something you would tune into, or is that not the style that they need?
I like it. I like it a lot. I'm surprised. I'm surprised by it because you've got Anderson and Gallows there. I thought they'd be getting more of a push than they are, but they're involved with this feud now with Big Cass and Enzo. And then they brought over Rhino and Heath Slater. So I get, you know, I think the tag team division is a little bit stronger on SmackDown than it is on Raw. But I like Cesaro and Sheamus as a heel now. I like the work that they are doing together, both as heels, instead of the one face and then the one heel. I'm thinking I like it a lot.
I'll take it. And I think, I mean, because the Hardys are such a fast-paced team. You know, they love to run and gun. It's like the Golden State Warriors of basketball. They love to run and gun and go. And I feel like Cesaro and Sheamus are that slow half-court team that just take their sweet time. So the contrast in style is definitely different. And something I don't think the fans are really into, but I think it brings a good, you know, it shows both of them. It shows that both teams can adjust to the pace of play and such. And so it's good. I think it, I don't know, I think it's a better tag team out there, but what do I know?
Yeah, but I want to tell everyone that that was a great analogy you just did, especially since you work for the radio station that is the flagship radio station for the Utah Jazz. They're the half-court offense, and they just got beat by the Golden State Warriors in four straight. So that was a great analogy, by the way, Juice. I like that analogy.
It's just how sports mind thinks, you know.
What did you think of the House of Horrors match? Did you get to watch that one?
I honestly, Dave, I've made it up to the women's match on Payback, and I haven't finished it yet. So you're going to have to.
Well,
the
first segment of it, they filmed at a home, and it was everything that the broken Matt Hardys were trying to do with their tag team Apocalypto and Broken Hardy, but this was so much better done. If you want to say it that way, but yeah, they filmed it, and the one thing that I don't know if anybody else caught it but me was it was in the dark. You know, they had the house lit up a little bit and they had cameramen and stuff, but I'm sitting there watching this live in the Intermountain time zone, and it's still light. The Pacific time zone, where they're in San Jose, California, would have still been light, very light outside when they showed this match on the network. Nobody else I ever heard anybody say about that. But they filmed the match, I think, outside of Kansas City, if I'm not mistaken, the week before. But it was very well done. The finish sets up the only way they could really finish the match was when they had the run-in by Jinder Mahal. It gave Bray Wyatt a way to say that he beat Randy Orton and set up this feud with Jinder Mahal and Randy Orton. So I think that was the only way they could make it. Some people criticized the way it ended. They didn't like the ending, but I thought it was the only way they could end it and still move forward with storylines. So I think that's just pretty good. I called it out of the box good.
You were not a very big fan of the Hardy's compound stuff. So.
Oh. Watching the House of Horrors match, it was like watching a horror movie. I mean, really, it was. I mean, they had really good spots in there that made you jump.
And, you know, it was very physical. They had Bray Wyatt pushing the refrigerator over Randy Orton, then getting in the limo, going to the arena, showing up at the arena. Randy couldn't be there, but all of a sudden here comes Randy, into the ring, you know, and, does the RKO out of nowhere, but Jinder Mahal comes in. I thought it was pretty well done. I mean, to end that one feud and move forward with the storyline of Bray Wyatt on Raw and move forward with the Jinder Mahal and Randy Orton on SmackDown, I thought that was just as well as they could even come close to doing that match. So that was pretty good.
Yeah, Jinder Mahal, would you like to take this opportunity to gloat for a moment?
Yeah, I can gloat on that. The last pod I said because the WWE had recently made inroads into the country of India, and now there's a lot of story coming out that, yeah, that's the reason why Jinder is getting this push to give the people of the country of India someone to see that they can cheer for or boo against, even though, you know, he's originally from Canada. And you read something about that and sent me a note saying I could gloat. So gloat, gloat, gloat. I was right.
Yeah.
I am so smart.
Credit to WrestleZone on that. That's where I did read the story from. That's a good website. If anybody wants to keep up on news and rumors, it's probably one of the best sites that I've found that they update regularly. They don't seem to put a lot of dirt sheet stuff on there. It's a pretty good website.
Yeah, WrestleZone.com. I look at that one quite a bit myself. So hats off to you guys. So
we go to the match that I think I was looking forward to the most, and it didn't disappoint me. It disappointed a lot of people. Was this House of Horrors match with Bray Wyatt and Randy Orton? What'd you think?
I loved it, but man, the disapproval rating on about four different websites said otherwise. I'm telling you what, I'm with you in agreeing that it was a great match, but I also understand, I saw the disapproval rating of the match, which really stunned me. I don't know if it's because of the result in itself, or if it's just because it's Bray Wyatt, or if it's just because it's Randy Orton. But I thought it was a really creative and unique match, and I thought the match itself was actually really good.
You know, it was probably the same people that thought the tag team Apocalypto thing that the Hardys did at their ranch in North Carolina thought that was good. This was so much better than that piece of garbage.
Oh, yeah. Oh, absolutely.
Oh,
absolutely.
Man, that was so horrible. Well, you know, and then, you know, how they filmed it, you know, Zane and I talked about this a little bit, but how they filmed it, it was like watching a horror flick. You know, lots of lights, the baby dolls hanging from the ceiling with blood all over them, and, you know, then the refrigerator on top of Randy, who, by the way, on SmackDown said, Bray Wyatt didn't beat me and neither did that damn refrigerator. You know, so I thought that was pretty good stuff there.
Coming up in part two of this edition of Turnbuckle Trash, we go to the movies, Zane goes to war, and we'll have more fun with Ajay. It's all coming up in the next part of Turnbuckle Trash.